Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Lexi Krupp, filling in for Mitch Wortlieb. It's Tuesday, January 7th, and here are today's headlines. The fossil fuel lobby and U.S. Chamber of Commerce have filed a federal lawsuit against Vermont. They allege the state's Climate Superfund Act violates federal law. The policy authorizes Vermont to pursue damages from big fossil fuel companies for the harms of climate change. The suit also casts doubt about what's called attribution science, or measuring how much worse a natural disaster is because of climate change. Justin Mankin is a climate scientist at Dartmouth who studies attribution science. He called the lawsuit's claims disinformation.
This is consensus mainstream science, and we are increasing our ability to trace losses back to particular emissions because climate change is no longer some far-off abstraction.
Mankin says attribution science is a proven tool that's well established. In a statement, the U.S. Chamber called the Vermont law a, quote, overreach of state power. In other legal news, the top federal prosecutor in Vermont announced yesterday that he will step down in 2 weeks. President Joe Biden nominated Nicholas Kurest to serve as U.S. attorney for the District of Vermont 3 years ago. Kurest previously worked as an assistant U.S. attorney in the state for over a decade, including several years leading the office's civil division. It's common for U.S. attorneys to step down when a new presidential administration begins. President-elect Trump will take office on January 20th, the same day that Kurest plans to resign. Also leaving his role in government is Lieutenant Governor David Zuckerman. He says Governor Phil Scott needs to bring more specific proposals to the table to tackle Vermont's affordability crisis. Zuckerman, a progressive Democrat, lost in November to Republican John Rogers. Democrats in the legislature also lost their veto-proof majority. In a press conference yesterday, Zuckerman told reporters that the election sent a message, that voters are frustrated at the high cost of living in Vermont. And he says Governor Scott needs to take action.
It is up to the governor, after 8 years, to lead, not by pointing fingers at the legislature, but by coming up with policies that reflect Vermonters' wishes for good local public schools and affordable housing.
The new legislative session begins Wednesday. Elsewhere in state government, Vermont's chief data and AI officer is looking for ways to use artificial intelligence to streamline government processes. When Josiah Raich's job was created in 2018, Vermont became the first state with a dedicated AI position in state government. Yesterday on Vermont Edition, Raich said his role has changed significantly since the start of his tenure, when he mostly trained AI models on things like road pavement conditions.
We're using publicly available tools a lot more now, thinking about how do we make people's experience with government faster. The day you have to call government is not usually the best day of your week. My goal is to make it so it's just not the worst day of your week.
Raich said Vermont lawmakers and the state's congressional delegation are working to better regulate artificial intelligence at the state and federal levels. Coming up, a proposal to reimagine how Vermonters heat their homes and businesses received a lot of attention during last year's legislative session. It figures to be a major discussion topic in Montpelier this year. More after this. Vermonters spend more than $3.5 billion a year on the energy that powers their homes, schools, businesses, and vehicles. And where that energy comes from and how much carbon pollution it generates will be one of the most pressing policy questions for lawmakers and the governor when they kick off this year's legislative session in Montpelier tomorrow. Vermont Public's Pete Hirschfeld has been talking to legislators, advocates, energy experts, and administration officials about where the debate might be headed. And he joined host Mary Engish to break down what it might mean for you.
Concerns about energy costs in Vermont, always a huge factor, especially in the most recent election. And one of the big reasons that we saw Republicans pick up so many seats in the legislature. So how will this new partisan dynamic influence what we see this year in the way of energy policy?
It could very well be the nail in the coffin for what has become Democrats' signature policy on the energy stage. And that policy is called the Clean Heat Standard. The Clean Heat Standard is an attempt to reduce the amount of fossil fuels that Vermonters use to heat their homes. And it would accomplish this by requiring the companies that import heating fuels to help their customers transition to greener heating technologies. If those companies can't or won't do that, then they'd have to buy clean heat credits. And the money from the sale of those credits would be used to subsidize the cost of weatherization activities or the installation of cold climate heat pumps or other projects that would have the effect of reducing greenhouse gas emissions. A lot of Democrats say this is the most effective way, not just to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. They say it will also use free market forces to speed the adoption of green energy technologies that will be more affordable for residents over the long term. But there are a lot of upfront costs involved in this sort of energy transition. And Republican Governor Phil Scott and GOP candidates for the House and Senate say this proposal will have the effect of driving up the price of heating fuel. House Minority Leader Patty McCoy says what we saw on Election Day was a revolt over the tax burden in Vermont. And she says the Clean Heat Standard will make that burden even heavier.
To tax on carbon is what this bill is, you know, for all intents and purposes. That's what it is. You're taxing fuel oil, you're taxing gas. It's a carbon tax.
To be clear, Mary, the Clean Heat Standard does not meet the definition of a tax, but Republican lawmakers and a whole lot of voters perceive it as one. The governor has vetoed this bill before and will likely do it again if Democrats try to enact it into law. And since there are more than enough Republican votes now to sustain that veto, it raises some very real questions about the future of this policy.
If the Clean Heat Standard does go down this session, is that the end of this broader conversation about energy policy? Does Vermont just stick to the status quo?
No. And that's what makes this debate so interesting and so consequential. 4 years ago, over Phil Scott's objections, lawmakers enacted something called the Global Warming Solutions Act. This act requires Vermont to hit emissions reduction targets in 2025, 2030, and again in 2050. And if Vermont doesn't hit those targets, then the law allows individuals or organizations to sue the state. And the legal remedy under the law is for a judge to force the Agency of Natural Resources to identify and then initiate a set of emissions reductions activities that would be sufficient to meet those targets. Phil Scott and Republican lawmakers are going to be calling for the repeal of those mandates and to get rid of this provision that allows people to sue the state. They think it's reckless to have a law on the books that could result in unelected executive branch officials making massive decisions about energy policy under a threat of judicial order. But while Republicans may have the votes they need to kill the Clean Heat Standard, they won't have the power to undo the Global Warming Solutions Act. And Democrats I've spoken with, including Washington County Senator Ann Watson, say they want to keep these emission reduction mandates in place, even if Vermont doesn't move forward with the Clean Heat Standard. And they say these mandates will sort of force the question of how are we going to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels.
I'm very open to a conversation about, like, thinking about how we go about that. I'm much more inclined to have a conversation about the how rather than pushing back the dates about the when.
To kind of tie a bow on this here, Pete, Vermont's under a legal mandate to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, but Democrats and Republicans can't agree on a path to get there. Where do we go from here?
Yeah, that's the compelling question right now. The issue of whether and how Vermont is going to transition off fossil fuels has been starkly partisan up until this point. But if Republicans are able to kill the Clean Heat Standard and Democrats are able to retain these emissions reductions mandates, then we find ourselves on a new playing field. It's a playing field where Democrats need Republicans in order to pass whatever climate legislation they want to pursue, and a playing field where Republicans face the choice of either finding compromise with Democrats and playing a determinative role in what climate policy looks like, or handing that responsibility off to the Agency of Natural Resources that, you know, by the way, by 2030, when these targets are due, may be run by an appointee of a future Democratic governor. Vermonters spend more than $5,000 per capita on energy costs, and every policy path our elected officials consider, including doing nothing, could have significant impacts, for better or worse, on the price we pay for energy or the costs we avoid if we use less of it.
That was Vermont Public's Pete Hirschfeld speaking to host Mary Angish. And check vermontpublic.org all week for our latest statehouse reporting as this year's legislative session gets underway. Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Liam Elder Connors, Abigail Giles, and Michaela LaFrac. Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Lexi Krupp. Talk to you later.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.